This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I am good. It is sunny out there. I had a hard time finding the door because the sun was blinding me.
Well, better enjoy it. It's going to rain again tomorrow.
Oh, well, at least I got a day of sun.
There you go.
You know, it's only like 54 degrees, but it felt like 84. It felt good. I went, oh, what is that bright thing in the sky? Oh, it's the sun.
Grab that vitamin D.
I recognize it now. Anyway, thank you for listening today. I hope you're enjoying this day and the sunshine that we're having. And I'm going to talk about all kinds of things today, mainly patios and how to build your own and that kind of thing. But I don't know if you've driven around at all and paid any attention to all the trees that have new buds. It's spring. I mean, it's starting to push. And I went by Brosio Orchards. I go by through there every day in the morning. And their peach trees are in full bloom.
Wow.
I mean, pink, all of them. I mean, they're gorgeous. Hmm. Just opened up in the last couple of days. And I went, woohoo, there is life. There is life after winter. I like that. Yeah. And, you know, and then down one of my roads I was on, there was one of these wild plum trees that bloom white. And they're all, you know, on hillsides and in ditches and stuff. This dude was 35, maybe 40 feet tall.
Wow.
And it was in total bloom, white. It was gorgeous.
Oh, pretty.
You know, made my day. I was, okay, man, we got a chance. We're going to make it.
We got it rolling now.
We got it rolling. Okay. Let her rip, baby.
And then Snowmageddon next week.
No, stop it. Stop it. No Snowmageddon. Not on my watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look closely, you'll see flowers are coming. Of course, the daffodils are all up all over the place. Those are those skinny little yellow flowers that seem to bloom everywhere, and you never see them except in the spring and, you know.
In your yard.
In fields and on banks along the highway, you know. How'd they get there? I don't know, but they're there. And they're
blowing in the wind.
Blowing in the wind, you betcha. And I even saw a few trees that have just tiny leaves coming out of them. Yeah, just
nice.
Kind of pushing and beginning to open up. And, you know, within it'll be amazing within another week to 10 days how the landscape will change in Douglas County. You know, even if it's rainy for a few days, there'll be some more sun. And the overall temperature seems to be rising, even though it was 34 at my house this morning.
How
could it be so cold, man? But anyway, enjoy the spring, every day of the spring. It's coming. Enjoy the sun. Don't let it get away from you because you never know how long it's going to disappear for the next storm front. So at any rate, if you have any questions about your landscape, your lawn, your garden, your trees, your shrubs, skunks in the yard, whatever.
Raccoons.
You know, you can give a call here and ask your question. No matter what I'm talking about, you can interrupt me and call at 673-4464 with your question. We'll have a conversation. I won't yell at you. I won't scream at you or call you names. And we're ready to go.
We got a call now.
See? How easy was that?
Hey there. You're on the air with Mike.
Hello.
Oh, I just wanted to tell Mike that those are nectarines, not peaches.
There's a what now?
Nectarines,
what
not peaches.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, ambrosi?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were peaches.
No, some of the peaches are blooming, but the nectarines are in full bloom.
Jeez Louise, why don't you put a sign out there so I can get it right?
We're just testing you, Mike. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you.
Yeah, and enjoy the springtime right now. It's beautiful right
now. Oh, absolutely gorgeous. You know, stuff is just pushing, and you can tell they're ready to go, and I am too. I'm ready to see it.
And, Mike, I have a quick question about quaking aspen.
Yeah.
I had a quaking aspen that I bought that's about, it's about 10 feet tall now, and it was in a pot.
Uh-huh.
I just put it in the ground last week, and wondered if there's anything special I need to do for it.
Is good ground or clay?
Very good ground.
Okay, good. Probably not much you're going to have to do. Did you water it in at all or anything like
I
that?
I did. I put some B1.
Good, good. You're that's all you need to do for another month or so. You know,
okay,
don't.
And then what?
Oh, you know, just watch it, and if it's growing good, it looks good, and the leaves are shimmering and shining and growing straight, leave it alone. Now, if it gets really real dry, I mean dry to the touch, the soil at the bottom, give it a bucket of water, a couple of gallons, just right at the base, but probably no more than, you know, a couple times a month maximum.
Okay, and then I understand that they have runners on their roots. So do I need to be concerned with big running roots?
No, I don't think so. I think you're good
there.
But,
they're my favorite tree.
Well, I love them too. They're gorgeous. Now, does it have enough space to grow well? Or
It does, yeah.
Okay.
It has plenty
space. You're going to have a lot of babies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not this year, maybe, but in time, there's going to be a lot of little baby aspens running through your yard.
So should I cut those down where I don't want them?
If you don't want them, or if you do want them, they'll turn into a forest for you. I'm not kidding either.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye. How long will it be before
it might be a couple 3 years, 4 years, maybe something like that.
Okay, I'll just watch them.
Yeah,
maybe
you're good
I'll
to go.
I'll dig them up and sell them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, dig them up. Bring them down to my place. I'll plant them for you.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
Thank you for correcting me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. See how easy that is? 673-4464. Call me up. Tell me why I'm wrong. It's okay. I learn more when I'm wrong than when I think I'm right. How's that mean? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. Because I'm usually wrong. So.
Well, anyway, I appreciate calls like that. So, today, you know, if you keep walking across your lawn, to work in your flower beds. After a while, the grass gets beat down and looks pretty bad. And, you walk in the same path a lot. It gets pretty muddy, too, and grass doesn't look so hot and stuff. So you may need a path from maybe your back door to the flower beds or to run a wheelbarrow on or something like that. But you can build a path for yourself. And there are several types you can build. Not only will they be functional, but you can also make them very attractive. And it just gives a whole different look to your yard. You know, it kind of sections off the yard, especially if it's not just straight. You know, you can kind of give a gentle curve to it, you know, a little bit, you know, kind of decorative, if you will. And it looks good and it's functional. And that's what pathways ought to be. They ought to lead somewhere. And if yours leads to some flower beds with rhododendrons or quaking aspens or whatever, so much the better. So, in order of difficulty and expense, here's a few examples that I want to lay out on you. Mm. And, you know, the first type, of course, is very simple and inexpensive. It's just a plain old bark mulch path. And then number two, a gravel path with, say, some edging on it. If you're going through a lawn or something, it looks good with an edge and also gives you a place that the lawnmower wheel can roll on while you're cutting the grass and doesn't get, you know, scoop up half a gravel and throw it over your yard.
Yeah.
And then you can do either like concrete pavers that you can buy at box stores or Willamette Greystone or the Co-op, something like that, or flagstone. And of course, the most expensive type of path is your concrete, poured concrete path, you know, that you have to frame it up and do all the stuff to it. And I'm going to talk about all those.
A lot of work.
It is. That one is a lot of work. But, you know, a bark mulch path, pretty simple.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I can do that.
Spray the weeds, kill them, and throw the bark down. You're good
to
go.
There you go.
You know, you got to maintain it a little bit. But
Douglas
okay.
County special.
Yeah, there you go. Now, all of these types require some ground preparation. For instance, step one is to remove all the vegetation down to bare soil. And, you know, several ways to do that. You can spray and kill all the grass and the weeds and, you know, maybe spray them twice, maybe even three times, because there's always seed in the ground that wants to, you know, if it's got room, it'll sprout. So, you know, give it two or three good sprayings with Roundup. And I know there's all the commercials on TV that says Roundup will kill you, but I've been using it for 46 years. I still have two arms, two legs, eyes, and the whole nine
yards.
Yeah,
you look alive yet.
I'm still alive, yeah. And I've accidentally spilled some on me from time to time, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, you didn't drink it, though, did you?
No, God forbid. It doesn't taste good at all. I took one sip, and I said, that. No, that was it. That's it for me. I'm not a Roundup addict. But, you know, like I say, two or three sprays and, you know, get all that vegetation, get it dead, then scrape all the dead stuff off down to clear, bare soil. And then you can lay some ground cloth down or, you know, some people use plastic. Plastic is okay temporarily, but in time it kind of breaks up and into little chunks and pieces and works itself up to the surface. And, yeah, it's kind of ugly looking. And it's, you know, it's just a pain in the neck. Yeah. And if you have a good ground cloth, it's a cloth material with little holes in it so that rain can go through and you know, stuff can breathe. You put that on lay that ground cloth on the path, and then you add your new bark or new gravel or your pavers, flagstone, concrete, whatever you decide to build your path with. But whichever material you choose for your path, the ground preparation is the same, and it's also the most important step. Because otherwise it's going to be a real pain in the neck, and you say, why did I ever build this stupid thing? All I do is pick weeds out of it, or it's not level, and it's kind of, you know, it's got no edge, so it kind of spreads. And, you know, it gets to be a pain in the neck after a while.
It defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose. Now, a gravel path can be very decorative when used with like different colored gravel. You know, after you've cleaned all the garbage and weeds and grass out of there, you know, it's all complete. You know, you can lay down 2 or 3 inches of pea gravel or half inch minus, and then compact it into the ground. You can rent a compactor, or you can take a flat shovel or a piece of plywood and just kind of lay it down on the gravel and walk on it and stomp it down. And what that does, it firms up the ground. And so that you can have a level playing field, if you will. And then after that, after you've got the pea gravel down or quarter inch gravel, you can get this color rock, and it's small, and it's also pea gravel, but it's blue and it's brown and it's tan and it's green, and you can sprinkle some of that on, and it really shines. It really, really looks attractive, and you can get that stuff like at Magnolia Farms, Willamette Greystone, Cowboy Tree Service. You can get it at the co-op out in Wilbur. They've got all kinds of sizes, all kinds of colors. It's fairly expensive, but you're not going to cover the entire path with it. You're just going to kind of sprinkle it around for contrast rather than just gray crushed rock, unless you just love gray crushed rock and it's functional and does well and it looks okay. But if you wanted to, you know, jazz it up and spice it up, you know, get some of this color stuff and kind of scatter it around. Or even like red cinder rock from Eastern Oregon volcanic areas and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Put that on top. And, you know, it's a different color, especially if this pathway that you've created is in the middle of a lawn. And so you got lawn on both sides that's green, and you've got some red cinder rock kind of winding through the middle of it. It adds a whole new dimension to your backyard. It's a whole new dimension attention to your landscape, and just add some more pizzazz to the yard, if you will. But a little on top looks great. Okay, one other step.
Can we get that after the break?
No, okay.
All right, we'll get another step. On News Radio 1240 KQEN with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, stay tuned.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. See, we're back.
We're back. Hey, it works. What do you know? Yeah, that's good. Anyway, today I'm talking about pathways, and then I'm going to get into patio kind of things. But, you know, same kind of thing. And I went through the simplest, which is the bark mulch path.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been talking about the gravel path. And now a gravel path, like I said earlier, can be very decorative when you use a different colored gravel and all that stuff. And one thing about the gravel path, and I think is necessary, is you need some sort of edging on it, because gravel has a tendency, you know, somebody walks through it, kicks a few rocks in the grass or into the flower bed. And eventually if nobody corrects that, then you got a, you know, kind of a mess on your hands, and your mower sucks those rocks up and goes dull, and you wonder why your grass is beat to death.
Well, hit somebody in the eye with a rock.
You know, I've seen that happen.
Me too.
Not in the eye, but at least in the forehead. But, you know, just some kind of an edging. It can be a wood edging, but the wood's not going to last maybe 10 years, 7 to 10 years, say. And then, you know, you got this bendy kind of bender board stuff. You hit that once with the lawnmower and it splits, so I don't even like to use that. But what I recommend is concrete bullets. They're called bullets, and they're about 12 inches long, and they're concave at one end, and the next one fits right in and into the slot. And you can make curves, you can go straight lines. They're about, you know, 4 inches tall, about 4 or 5 inches wide, and they make a nice edging. They're solid. They're there. They're going to keep the gravel in place there, and your pathway should be at least 2 feet wide. I mean, anything more narrow than that, you're going to stumble around, and you're hard to get a mower across that kind of stuff or anything like that. So 3 feet is even better, and you know, it 3 foot cutting through a lawn or some flower bed area, it looks good. And of course, like I say, the edging is good, and those concrete bullets. And the only place I know to get them now, there may be other places to get them, but I always get mine at Willamette Graystone out there on Highway 99. They got gray ones. They got reddish, dark red brick colored ones. So, you know,
they come in different colors.
Yeah.
Cool.
No purples yet, and no pink ones, but, you know, deep brick red and gray. Mm-hmm. And they're really nice.
Decorative, as you say.
Decorative, yes. Okay, or let's say you want it more natural, you can get large rock from one of the rock companies around, Umpqua Sand and Gravel, Knife River. They've got quarry rock, and they grade it in different sizes. And if you want to get 2-inch or 4-inch or 6-inch or 8-inch quarry rock, and you could do that as a kind of a natural path, and just put them together and lay them both sides of your pathway, and it does the job as well. And it's a little more rustic. You can't run your lawnmower wheel on top of the rock because it's uneven, but it has a good look to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you're going through just some bark mulch or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it separates the bark from the gravel, too. And that'll always look good.
Keeps everything kind of in place.
Yeah. It's the bullets that give it the real finished look. Now, if you go with concrete pavers, there are many styles. There's colors and sizes to choose from. I mean, they've got square ones. They've got ones that are octagonal, and they've got them, you know, a foot across. They've got them that are 2 feet, 2 feet by 2 feet. They've got them in like brick red colors and of course, gray. I haven't seen any other colors. So if you want, you know, larger ones, you can put that in. Or if you want the more decorative ones, the octagonal shaped ones, they look really good.
What shape is it? I went to Sutherland School District.
It's not square. Okay, okay. Dale? One edge goes this way and then this way and then this way. And then they're at angles.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's hard to draw a picture in the air when I'm talking to this guy, you know? But they really look good, and again, there are these pavers. You can get them at the places I named before. Even the box stores have those, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot. But the Farm Bureau, Willamette Gray Stone, probably Coastal, you know, any of those places that have a garden shop usually has some sort of a paver that you can buy. And like I say, they come in all sizes. You can get really small ones, which are a real pain in the neck because it's a lot more work to put the smaller ones in. But it truly is because it's a lot more leveling and all that. And the leveling part is extremely important, that you get your grade level before you put this all down. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Already.
But if it's not level and you've got one that's kind of sticking up, and you don't immediately see it, but when you're walking along the finished product and all of a sudden your toe stubs on that, that's not level. And then you're going to have to either tamp it down or take it out and level the ground underneath it, then put it back in. And it's for not only looks, but for safety too. You know, when you stub your toe on a piece of concrete, it hurts very
much.
You'll
know it.
I've done that. I know. I speak from experience. Yeah. Not lately, but when I was 10 or 12 or whatever, you know, running through the tulips there, and you go, ah! And your big toe gets snagged on a rock. I broke my big toe once.
Oh, yeah?
Doing just that.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There was a piece of the paver or the concrete or whatever, a little edge to it, and I'm running barefoot, and my big toe caught it and went sideways on me, and that hurts.
Oh.
That really, really hurts.
I don't want to find out. But
so leveling is
very
good.
Important.
Very important. You know, not only for the looks, but for safety. So no tripping is needed or necessary on these things, because it'll hurt like all get out. You will not like it. You will not appreciate. Now, my favorite type of pathway, and these are, you know, as you build them kind of pathways, you may have a different style. You might want to leave a little space between pavers. You might want them tight together. You know, it's just use your imagination and try out several different ways, and then before you start laying them. But my favorite is flagstone, and it comes in all sizes and colors. It's gray. I've seen it dark gray, almost black, and light gray, some that are kind of burnt red with orange streaks through it and other colors. I mean, flagstone is really, really cool. And then there's nothing uniform about them. They're all, you know, rounded, jagged edges and different shapes and different sizes. You can get them real small, I mean, like a foot across. But then that means you got to do a lot of work on your knees fitting them all together. But I was, excuse me, I was, when I built mine, behind my house, a walkway to my pond, I used these that were like 3 feet across, you know, not 3.5, but at least 3 feet across.
Right.
And I got them out at the co-op, and they had a whole flat
selection
of them.
Yeah.
And they're kind of that burnt red. They were that burnt red color. They're a little faded now. They're kind of a lightish reddish pink. But they've been in for 20 years.
Whoa.
And you know, different, no shape to them. They're just irregular as all get out. They're just, you know, and so you kind of put them in and you fit them around. And there's space in between them. There's soil in between because you can't fit them up.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's been in 20 years and none of them have broken. They were heavier, heavier than, you know, it was some of them, it took two people to pick them up and carry them out of the truck and lay them down. And that's why you want to have a level ground initially, because once you put them down, you don't want to have to pick these puppies up and regrade your deal and put them back down a couple of times. That's a real pain in a lot of different ways. They're good. They're larger. You don't have to have as many of them. It depends on how much of a pathway you've got. If it's a 20-foot pathway or a 40-foot pathway, it doesn't take very many of them if they're 2 and 3 feet in diameter.
Well, that's an advantage.
Real advantage. Mm-hmm. And then you might have some spaces in between. Well, plant some ground cover in there. Plant some kind of moss, Irish moss or Scotch moss. Just kind of plug them in those holes, and and they're so tough they don't need any care. And they grow and they spread and really fills in the cracks and the holes there, and it looks great, you know. So you got the flagstone, the natural flagstone with the nice green moss in
looks
between.
Natural.
Exactly, it really dresses up the yard there. Now they have thin ones, say like an inch thick, and then up to some that are like 2 inches thick. I always select the ones that are like 2 inches thick, or at least an inch and a half, because if something hits them and they're only an inch thick, it could crack them. Like if you dropped a wheelbarrow down on them, or a rock or something like that, they could cause a crack or a chip on the side. Well, the thicker ones, that won't happen.
They can withstand.
You'd have to take a jackhammer to them to cause any destruction.
And
that's what I like about them. The thicker ones, I mean, they are heavier, but they won't crack, they won't break, and they're just very heavy duty, and they, like I say, last a long time. And the colors are unlimited. Sometimes, you know, I don't know how often they get new supplies, but, you know, they probably have some now. But as we get more spring-like, there's more trucks coming in. Most of this stuff comes out of Montana and Colorado, Wyoming. It seems there's just an unlimited supply of flagstone that you can have a quarry, and it just comes off in slabs.
We're lucky to have states so close that have it.
Yeah. I don't know that California has it, but, you know, you'd probably find it in Arizona, New Mexico, dry places, dry, warm places. And I know Wyoming and Montana are cold, but in the summer, you know, there's not a lot of rain. I guess that's my point there.
Yeah.
So they really last a long time. And they're very heavy duty, and you just take a look and see what variety is out there that you can choose from. And again, ground prep is the most important thing to keep these flagstones level and solid to the ground. You don't want to walk on them have them tippy. You know, you stand on one on your right foot, and the left side of it kind of comes up an inch or something like that. No, that's what hurts people. Mm-hmm. I mean, trust me, it hurt people. So the leveling part, and you can level with a rake or a flat shovel even, and just make sure it's smooth before you lay it down, and then you just do it piece by piece by piece by piece, and you know, you have to sometimes, you know, shuffle them around or rub them back and forth to sink
them
in.
Tweak it a little bit.
Tweak it, yeah, that's the word, tweak. You got to tweak that flagstone. And on this, edging is really not required because they're so wide. But if you want to, you can add it to it, and if you like that kind of look. But to me, the big flagstone is like the easiest to install, and it's the quickest. Even with all the preparation you have to do, the pavers take a long time because they got to be fitted, and you can't leave space in between them. But you better have a real good eye as far as, you know, if one is 4 inches space and the next one is 5 inches of space, your eye picks up on that right away. So if you're spacing them 4 inches apart, well, make sure you have a tape measure out there and for the next one, right. Whereas flagstone, that's not necessary because it's not uniform. It's just, it's got curves and squares and spikes and everything else in it. So
can we take a break?
Yeah, we got a break. Okay, we'll be back
with more flagstone.
Well, maybe not.
4:37, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
As the man says, it certainly is. We're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we're going to still talk rock.
Yeah, we're going to talk rocks and pathways. And
rock and roll down the hill or whatever.
No rock and rolling down the hill, man. I did that when I was 10 or 11. I quit that. So I was talking about the different type of paths with... You know, the simplest with bark, and the next kind with a little bit of gravel, next kind with pavers or flagstone and stuff like that.
And watch your spacing.
And what's that?
Watch your spacing between.
Oh, yeah, watch your spacing. But the third or fourth type is poured concrete. Now, it's permanent. It looks good. I have a client that did a beautiful aggregate poured concrete walkway from his driveway to the front door, all the way around to the backyard, connecting with his back patio. It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm. It really is.
Sounds
and the,
like
and
it.
the way it's set and the position of his home, it doesn't have a front yard because of the ground drops off rather steeply to the street. So there's enough room to get a tractor back there, you know, or a big mower or something like that. But it's beautiful, and it's curvy. It looks good. And nice. You just put gravel on both sides of it, and bingo, it's done.
Nice.
And there's no maintenance, no nothing.
Yeah.
But it is more expensive than the ones that I have just talked about.
And a little more work, too.
A lot more work. Yeah. You know, and like I say, you can have them straight. You can have them curvy, whatever you like, and they all look good. And the concrete can have a smooth finish, like a sidewalk out here in town, or rough, you know, the aggregate look, which is, you know, it's kind of a more natural thing. But look around before you start and see pathways that have been used for a while, and you'll have, you'll just get a better idea of, you know, you can see something in somebody else's yard or a park or something like that and say, well, that would look good in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, do your research, do your homework, and you can see that, I think I'd like that better,
right.
Or that would work better, or I don't have the money for a poured concrete walk, because they're spendy, and there's a lot more labor involved, and concrete is spendy, et cetera, and then aggregate is even more spendy than, you know, just plain concrete, so... Now, skipping right along here, patios. You know, we'll build our paths. Now we need some patios.
Now we're going to get down to business.
Yeah, down to business here, Paul. Patios constructed of pavers or flagstones are usable and attractive in your landscape. The same kind of process of ground preparation is absolutely necessary. You know, and the size, when you're thinking of your patio, the size of the patio is your first concern, huh? You know, do I want it, you know, 20 by 20, or do I want it 10 by 10? And, you know, it all dictates.
Depending on what you're going to use it
for. What the size is going to be, what you're going to use it for.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a party on it? Well, 10 by 10, you're going to have a very small party. You know, if you get something that's 20 by 20, you've got 400 square feet there, and you can actually have a dinner and chairs and, you know.
And still social distance.
Yeah, and it may end someday, and you can sit closer together. Yeah, right. Anyway.
I can't.
The size of the, like I said, the size of the patio is your first concern. And, of course, the larger patios are going to be, you know, more labor, more materials, and consequently, there's going to be more money that you'll have to consider.
Dish out. Yeah.
Do I want to spend $5,000 or $500? You know,
yeah.
Real simple math here. So if you start with a small patio that, you know, can accommodate, say, a couple of lawn chairs and a small table, You know, to just to sit out in the evening and maybe got a few shade trees out there and you got a nice halfway decent view of mountains or something like that. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, in the middle of July when the sun's starting to go down, it's starting to cool off, you go out there and have your coffee or your iced tea or whatever. You got a little table. You got two little chairs. It's just a pleasant thing to do. It's just another part of your home living experience. Mm-hmm. But you're doing it outside.
Yeah.
Or you know, you can have a dinner out there, and that's okay. But here's the deal: if you start with a small one, you can enlarge it. You can enlarge it. It's okay if you live with the small one for a couple of years and say, you know, if that was another 10 feet longer and 15 feet wider, we could do A, B, and C,
right,
and have a few people over there. And it's a pretty easy project to do it. And I'm talking about if you're using flagstone or pavers, whereas a concrete patio is going to be more time-consuming and expensive to enlarge. I mean, it can be done,
right,
and it might look a little bit different, but it can be done. Now, location is important. Where is going to go? How do we want to do it? We want it close to the house, far away from the house? You know, how do I get from here to there?
We don't want it in the middle of the sun.
Right, and the sun, well, how's this afternoon hot sun? Do you want to use it in the hot afternoon or early morning? I mean, those are all factors that you got to consider. And, you know, like a brand new home in a lot of these developments has either small, newly planted trees or no trees, that's all got to be taken into consideration. And do you need a path to get there? You know, maybe you want it in the middle of the yard. So do I build a path to get there? That mm-hmm. works. That looks good.
Yeah,
it's easy. But ask yourself and look at your ground very carefully. Is my ground level? Is it flat or do I have a slope to consider? And if you have a slope to consider, there's going to be some more work to do to build a small retaining wall, to get a flat place to put your patio. And details really are important on that. Always mm-hmm. do extensive planning so you don't create a nightmare that has to be redone.
Oh, Lord.
You know,
a redo.
I've done that.
Not
to my clients, but to myself. And I go, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. That was dumb. But
that's how you learn.
That's how you learn. That's the best way to learn, I'll tell you that. But a level playing field is best to start with. You know, step one, excavate that thing down to bare soil. Again, no weeds, no grass. Smooth and level the soil. Then water it and let the water soak in there and see if you have any low spots.
If you
have some low spots, you know, the water will bring them to light for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if so, you just relevel. Maybe lay some sand in there 2 or 3 inches deep and you know, kind of, you know, just grade it out. It's easy. Sand is easy to grade. You can use the back end of a garden rake or a 2x4 on edge and get down low and or put some handles on it and just, you know, mm-hmm. just smooth it along one or two times and hey, it's smooth as a tabletop. And so you get your sand down there, you're ready to go, and it's leveled, and compact the sand with like a lawn roller or a section of plywood that you can stand on and walk on, just to firm it up, because mm-hmm. sand is loose material. And if you don't have some sort of compaction on there, it's kind of a hassle to work with later on, because you're all constantly mm-hmm. having to play with it. And when you get the sand on there, you know, you can water it in, too, and give it some weight, and then compact it, and it pretty much stays where you want it. So at this point, you're, you know, ready to lay your pavers if you want a paver patio, or flagstone if you want a flagstone patio. And it's the same principles I talked about when you're doing the pathway. You know, keep a small hand level with you because this is bigger than a pathway, just to make sure that all your pieces are at the same height.
Right.
And they're level. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you got the first one level, that's what you're on your way. You're putting your next piece in, and you put your level, 2.5-3 feet long level with mm-hmm. a bubble in the middle, from one paver to the next or one flagstone to the next, and if it stays level, you're good to go. And just create and do that process all the way through. So when you're done, the whole thing is done. I mean, you don't have to go back and fool with anything,
mm-hmm.
and you'll And it may take a little bit longer, but the end result is what you want.
Yes.
That's what you want. If you don't want to do it right, then don't do it at all. Hire me.
There you go. And your number is?
42907. I'm not telling anybody my number now. I got too much work as it is. But, you know, again, that ensures that nobody's going to trip on a sharp edge sticking up. And, you know, nobody gets their toes cut because they'll be out barefooted, especially kids.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that the finished product has to be good looking and safe at the same time.
Or you may get sued.
You may. You never know. Now on the flagstone patio, there's going to be spaces, like I said earlier in the program, between each piece. There's going to be spaces. And again, they can be filled with sand or soil. And, you know, wide spaces in between make great places to put ground covers, like the moss, different kind of mosses. But there are other ground covers besides moss that only grow an inch or 2 inches tall. And they'll fill in those areas and decorate your patio as well. And they're like a no maintenance kind of deal. You know, they just grow. They're like they're like weeds. They don't need any care. They're great. Oh, geez, Louise. But edging is optional, of course, on your patio.
Can we talk about that after the break?
You have so many breaks. I just get on a roll and we got a break again.
I know. We're getting into this.
Okay.
4:51, and we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we got Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we were just kind of wrapping it up a little bit.
A little bit? No, I got pages and pages of notes. I might go on forever.
So go for it.
We might have to have a second hour here. Well, I was talking about patios and flagstone patios and how to build them and, you know, the things you should be aware of. I mean, and this is not the complete list of awareness. It's good to talk to people who have done it. It's good to get a book on building patios, and they'll have colored photos in there that you can see. Oh, yeah, now I understand what that guy was talking about on the radio. Yeah.
Demonstration.
Yeah, demonstration. And so anyway, edging is optional from a construction point of view and on a flagstone patio. It's not really needed. Because, you know, it's usually flowing into grass or the patio is flowing into a plant bed or something like that. So if you want to have an edge, some kind of fancy edging or something like that, go for it. But really, it's not really necessary. And it kind of doesn't add anything to the patio. It kind of takes it away. And I'm talking flagstone at this point. Now, some folks, they prefer mortared patios, you know, concrete and all that.
Oh, okay.
And for a more formal look and supposedly total weed control, right? There's no such thing in Douglas County.
Yeah, not near.
New. However, it's much more expensive from a materials point of view and a lot more labor intensive. So you have to start with a concrete slab. You know, concrete slab, you know, and all that goes with pouring a concrete slab. Then you have to, then you mortar your pavers or your stones or whatever onto the slab. And, you know, and the major expense would be hiring a concrete construction company to excavate, get the proper depth and add a, you know, to achieve a real professional look.
Yeah.
It's not something that I personally would want to do if I was going to have that type of patio. I'd hire it done to people who do it all the time because they know the shortcuts. They know the process. They know what they need to
all
do.
All the ins and outs.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's many steps involved in this type of patio. And here's a quick list here, if I can get it in for 3 minutes. Before spreading the mortar on the slab, you have to put a bonding agent down on the slab. And the bonding improves the bond between the foundation and the mortar. and the better the bond, the less likely a mortared stone will come loose from the foundation. So, you know, I'd have to do my own research and actually work with somebody that did that, because I've never done that type of thing. Wow. And setting the stone level and tapping it firmly into the mortar is very important, so there's no air pockets or looseness in there.
Yeah.
And then you have to grout the joints between the stones so that all of it is flush.
Uh-huh.
And again, this prevents tripping in a groove or having a chair or a table kind of rocky back and forth, not level, you know, which is a real pain in the neck.
Yeah, you don't need a rocking
chair. No, you don't. And then you rub all the excess grout with a dry cloth 5 or 6 hours after grouting.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, why they say that? I have no clue. But then with a damp cloth, you would clean your stones and you don't wipe over the joints at all, just the stones themselves, to, in case you get some concrete on them or some mortar or something like that.
Just clean them
up. Yeah, clean them up, shine them up, right. And slow curing is important. You have to cure them for the long-term strength of the mortar. And you keep the surface of the patio wet for 3 to 5 days, they say. You know, sprinkle it and keep it wet, and basically with all those steps involved, you can now see why I don't want to build that type of patio.
Yeah.
I just prefer the more simple ones, the more homemade ones, and you know, I've seen both, and I've dealt in landscape jobs that had a patio such as what I just talked about. But when we you know, folks hire us and they want a flagstone patio or a paver patio, it looks more natural.
Mm-hmm.
It fits better, it seems, and because it's more like a ground level thing where some of these others are they're raised almost, and you know,
and you can tell it.
Yeah. And so the pavers, the flagstones, you know, even a gravel patio. I've seen folks that have just taken some 4x4, treated 4x4s, and made a square out of them, and then filled it with gravel and compacted the gravel.
There you go.
And add some color stones, and if you want to make it better, you've got the base already done, and you can make it better in the future. So
you're ready to go.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you learned something. I enjoyed it.
Me too.
And Dale too. He fell asleep 4 times. I had to wake him up.
All right, the afternoon report is next. News Radio 1240 KQAN.